This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. That's a free app. Download it. You can take us on the go. You can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com, and you can join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Pickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. Packed show. Football Friday. We'll hit the skins coming up in 20 minutes. Scott Abraham from ABC7 joins us at 9, John Feinstein at 8, and Gravis Vasquez, Terp legend, played in the NBA, now an analyst for Monumental Sports. He'll jump on at 9:20, actually going to join us in studio, talk a little NBA, Wizards. Maybe we can touch on the Terps as well. But joining us right now is Kevin McCarthy to talk movies.
JP.
Hello, Kevin.
Did you dress up for Halloween?
Yeah, well, we did a Halloween show on Good Day DC, and they had me. It was like a country music themed show based around Beyonce, and so a lot of the characters were all like country music based. And the best was Steve Chenevy, though. If you guys haven't seen Steve Chenevy's picture online where he played Post Malone, it was incredible. They had me do Billy Ray Cyrus, but I was like a small bit, because everybody else's characters were a lot more important to the story and to the theme of the. But I was more like a Billy Ray Cyrus connected to Lil Nas X, connected to Miley Cyrus kind of thing. So it was fun. It's honestly like, shout out to the entire Fox 5 crew for their amazing work. They did a brilliant job like putting it together, and our producers crushed it. So,
all right, I figured you probably even dressed up last night, but maybe you didn't. No.
I was putting some plans together this Sunday. I'm going to the movies with Noah Brown and JD Daniels. We're going to go see the new Tom Hanks movie called Here
with JD
Here.
Daniels. You're going to go with JD.
I said JD Daniels. Sorry.
So you're going to see that during the Giants game is when you're going to go on Sunday.
Yeah. We're going to the 1 o'clock showing. Jaden, Noah, and I are going to go to the 1 o'clock showing of the new Tom Hanks movie.
So Kevin, you kind of talked about Here.
It's not even funny.
You talked about Here last week.
Yes.
And what I recall is you said it's like a one camera shoot, essentially, over and over. Explain to us what you meant. Or maybe it's like one setting.
Yeah. So this movie is insane. Like the concepts. I don't know if you guys. So basically, I don't know if I explained it too well last week, but Robert Zemeckis, who directed Back to the Future, and he did Castaway, and one of the greatest filmmakers of all time. This movie Here, basically, imagine the spot you're sitting in right now, in your studio, and imagine the thousands of years of history that's happened in that exact location. So like, if you were to theoretically have a camera that had been sitting in your location and all the buildings and all the things that have been going on in that spot. So they set a camera up in one spot, and for thousands of years, primarily more of like the modern era, but like over the, you know, storylines of families and events that have happened in that one space. But primarily it takes place in a house that was built, you know, in the past 100 years or so, and the families that live in that house and the living room and all the different families and kids that grow up there. And it's really kind of it's a study about time and kind of what's lost in time, what's remaining in time, but also the perspective that we're only here for, you know, a small amount of time. And like, if you think about it, I mean, how many houses have you guys all lived in? I've lived in, you know, 4 homes probably my whole life since I was born. I've always been curious to kind of go back to those homes and see how another family set it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, how does another family live in the same living room that I grew up in? And so it kind of plays with that idea. But it also plays with a lot about, you know, our perspective of kind of our lives and what's important in our lives. And the cast is incredible. Tom Hanks, Robin Wright, Paul Bettany. The cool thing about this movie, and this is such a minutia detail, but it's a really cool filmmaking thing, is because the camera is set up in one spot the whole time and doesn't move, you have actors who have different heights. So like if an actor is taller and they're coming towards the frame, they had to build like a trench for the actor to go down so their height wouldn't, so their head wouldn't get cut off of the frame because the frame doesn't move. So the entire thing, I know, it's pretty wild.
Your head's spinning.
Yeah, my head. Yeah, I'll be honest, Kevin. To me, this movie sounds incredibly dull and boring.
Yeah.
That's just my takeaway. Maybe it's great. I don't know.
Noah and Jaden are super excited about it on Sunday at 1.
I actually think listening to Kevin, he's going to give it a mild review, like a 3.5 or a 4.
Well, I've seen what Rotten Tomatoes is giving it.
Yeah, I don't think critically it's doing as well, but I thought it was fantastic. It's scored by Alan Silvestri, who did like the Back to the Future score as well. I mean, the guy directed Forrest Gump, and he's bringing back the two lead stars.
Doesn't mean he can't have a dud, because many directors will have duds. We talked about Megaflopolis.
Megaflopolis.
What is your rating for here?
I gave it a 4. And so for anybody out there listening who might, it's almost harder to explain the movie than it is when you sit down and see it. If you really just kind of put it into a smaller synopsis, it's just about a bunch of multiple families over different time periods that grow up in the same house. And outside of that, if you can just imagine the camera not moving, and they also go back to like the dinosaur era, and like, you know, it's kind of wild how it all pulls off. But I enjoyed it. I think it's a really unique perspective. It's never been done before. It's based on a graphic novel. So I dug it, but I also understand why it might sound confusing. Even explaining it on your show just now, I'm like, does this even make sense? Because it is a hard sell. It is a tough sell.
Kevin, I would rather watch the first half last night of the Jets Texans game
than instead 5 of minutes here, of here.
Because, and that game was awful. That first half was basically unwatchable.
Let me tell you, I know I came on the show joking about the Jaden Daniels and Noah Brown thing, but I got to tell you, in this year, and I watch a lot of movies, that I probably watched that clip of that Hail Mary probably 45 times. It is one of the, I mean, I know you guys talk about it all week, it's old news now, but that is like one of, it's like a movie. It feels like a movie. That was one of the most cinematic things I've ever seen in my life. And so I can't imagine how excited you guys are, but it was awesome.
I'm just curious. I'm looking at a promo for Here, which you just gave a 4 out of 5. And there's a picture of Tom Hanks with Robin Wright, and he looks a lot younger. Did they use that weird de-aging technology that they used in The Irishman?
JP, you're just opening the door for Kevin to nerd out.
I'm just asking him.
4 more minutes.
That's like asking me, Kevin, do you like movies? I mean, how much time do we have? I mean,
How'd they make him look young?
So what they do nowadays, this is probably the first time they've done de-aging where I think it actually looks legit, is the actors, you know, on set, they're actually able to watch playback of the scene that they did about a minute later with the de-aging technology. So what they do is they take a bunch of old images of Tom Hanks and Robin Wright, like in archival images from movies, from TV shows, from pictures and everything. And they put it into a system and they're able to actually de-age him with real images of himself.
Gotcha.
So it's almost like they're not really like de-aging. They're actually just, it's basically, it's him at that time.
It's like they're photoshopping him in real time.
Kind of cool. Yeah.
All right. So you wanted to talk about Substance, which is streaming. I'm not sure on what platform. Fill us in on Substance.
Have you guys heard about this movie, The Substance?
Have not.
Oh, my God. Okay,
is this the Demi Moore movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, I have heard of it.
Guys, this movie is absolutely insane. The only reason we're talking about it today is because it's now, you can rent it on demand now. So if you have like Apple TV or Amazon, you just go on there and you can actually rent the film on demand. But it is, Demi Moore basically plays a character who's an actor. And I've reviewed this in the show before, so I'm just going to keep this brief. But she's an actress who's kind of in the world of the film. Her character has been told that she's kind of too old. And Dennis Quaid plays this character who kind of tries to push her out, try and find a younger actress to kind of, you know, secure that position. And it's, to me, the brilliance of the movie is it talks a lot about this ageism in Hollywood and how disrespectful it is to women, particularly because Demi Moore still looks absolutely gorgeous and stunning. But in the movie, the idea being that the concept of Dennis Quaid's character is like, oh, you're too old. We need to find somebody who's more young. And so Demi Moore's character comes across this thing called The Substance, where she can inject herself and another version of herself will be born from her, which is wild, and can live in the world for 7 days at a time. And she has to switch back and forth between her older self and her younger self, and can't stay in the younger self more than 7 days, or it will take away physically from your older self. It is one of the most insane concepts, but to me, the brilliance of it is that it really does focus on this idea of how women are perceived in Hollywood. And it really is kind of, it's really messed up. Because if you think about it, men in Hollywood, look at like Brad Pitt and George Clooney. The older these guys get, they're still getting all the roles they want. And I think what happens for women, unfortunately, is that they aren't given the same opportunities as they get older in Hollywood. And I think that's what's brilliant about it is Demi Moore, you know, as she's gotten older in Hollywood, has probably felt some of these same pressures. And to be honest with you, when you watch the film, she still is gorgeous. But perception of how people perceive her in Hollywood is a lot different. So I thought it was a really brilliant take on that. At the same time, it's a body horror film. So it's really disturbing because of all the back and forth of the switching of the bodies. And imagine if you're younger, you want to stay younger. So you're actually messing up your older self. So a lot of the body horror comes from that. It's a very disturbing film. That's really gross at times, but I thought Demi Moore was amazing. Margaret Qualley plays the younger version of her, and Dennis Quaid plays the kind of the
Kevin,
jerk guy who's trying to.
Kevin, hold on. Am I saying her name incorrectly all these years? Is it Demi or Demi? Demi?
Yeah.
Can you clear this up? Because you're saying Demi.
I actually think that you're right. It's kind of the John Lithgow thing.
Okay. All right.
Or Martin Scorsese. It's like I think people just say it. Either way, I think you are actually right. I think Charlize Theron versus Charlize Theron as well, but people just say it
okay.
The other way.
Have you interviewed her?
I've never interviewed Demi Moore,
oh,
but
okay.
I'm 99.9% certain that Cakes is right. I just think that I've said Demi Moore for so
yeah,
long.
I think it's
okay,
Demi.
Got it. Okay.
No.
Yeah. I thought I was going crazy
right.
over here.
Right.
Kevin, right, say hello to our guy JD Daniels on Sunday.
Yeah.
Enjoy watching the game with him.
Jaden and Noah, I think Dan Quinn's going to join us too.
Don't do the popcorn bit with them. Keep it PG-13.
Are you guys going to join me on Sunday at 1, right? Eric, you coming?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah,
I'll meet you there.
Yeah. By the way, the entire segment today, all I got from Eric was,
Hey, he's engaged.
I'm
He's
listening.
Letting you speak.
Yeah, I'm letting you do your thing.
All right, here gets a 4 out of 5.
You wouldn't believe how
Kevin,
interested he was.
And he says, check out Substance with Demi Moore or Demi Moore, doesn't matter. You can check that out on Amazon. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, I love you guys. It's always hard to come on and talk about movies that aren't like a huge deal during the time when you guys are having a huge time with football. So thank you guys for letting me chat about it. I know,
of
it's
course,
not, I know it's not the most engaging thing.
It's all good. Hey, it's Friday.
All good.
It's
Friday. That's Kevin McCarthy. 4 out of 5 for here, and check out Substance on Amazon. Coming up next on a Football Friday, we hit the skin.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Time now to hit the skins. Brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies. You get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great.
Is this game bigger than last week since it was Jaden versus Caleb and it was Nance, Romo, flex game?
No.
No.
So this is not, but it's a division game.
I feel like it has more consequences.
It's a division game.
It's a step down in like glitz and glamour type, I think. But, I mean, division games are important. It's important to win them. And the Giants have already gone 0-3 in the division.
Yeah.
All right, you mentioned it. We've been talking about it a little bit all week. Actually, really haven't focused on it as much as you might think. Commanders have the Giants. Commanders are 6-2, coming off the Hail Mary victory over Chicago. Everyone's talking about the brotherhood here. Everyone's very, very positive. I'm going to go through the injury list, though. We've still got some guys banged up. The Giants, on the other hand, though, they're 2-6. They're 0-4 at home. They're looking to get off that schneid there when we play there Sunday, 1 o'clock. I think it's a Fox game.
Yes.
Let me see here. We talked about the Giants' defense, how good they've been with sacks. They lead the NFL with 35. They've got, was it Dexter Lawrence? Got 9. Brian Burns has got 5. Kayvon Thibodeau, I believe, though, is going to be out with a broken wrist. Mm. One thing that is interesting, we've already beaten them, all right? We're going for a sweep here of the Giants, which would be the first time they've done that in like 4 years, since 2021, where they actually went 2-0 against the Giants. We struggled in the red zone the first time. Remember, they lost their kicker. We went 0-6, all those penalties. Austin Seibert came in there, and he kicked, what, 7 field goals that day?
7. He had 7.
Yeah. He was unbelievable. That's the only reason why we really won that game.
Is that one short of the NFL record? 7?
Sounds right.
I think 8 was the record. But.
Their red zone defense is even better than their overall defense. So overall, they're 13th ranked, the Giants. In the red zone, they're ranked 5th in the league.
Bend but don't break.
Yeah, but where they're not good is stopping the run. They allow 5.4 yards to per carry. So I think this is going to be a big B-Rob game, especially when we know that Jaden isn't 100%. He's still dealing with the after effects of the rib injury. I just think this is a big B-Rob, and you sprinkle in some Eckler. I think you're going to see a lot of that on Sunday.
They give up 21, 22 points per game, Cakes. As you mentioned, offensively, they're challenged too. Daniel Jones kind of been up and down, as you'd figure.
Mostly down.
They're only scoring less than 15 points per game, 14.6. Only passing for 195. They're barely rushing for over 100 yards per game.
And they've got issues with some of their key personnel. Tyrone Tracy, who had basically overtaken Singletary as the lead running back, he's in concussion protocol, but it sounds like he's trending towards possibly playing.
Okay.
So that would be a boost for the Giants. But if you have to lean on Singletary, he had a good game in the first matchup. So I'm sure the Giants have confidence in either one of the running backs if Tracy can't go in
the
game.
They've got a starting left corner, Cordell Flott, who is on the injury list. I'm not sure if he's going to go or not. They got Adoree Jackson, backup corner, also on the injury report.
I put it up as the Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Scotty's Vodka, Maryland-made, super smooth, super smooth, love throughout the DMV, and it's very simple. Who wins on Sunday? And Commanders fans seem to be supremely confident.
Yeah, I don't know. I we're favored. We should be fair. I think the number I see is 4. Is that what you have?
I see 3.5 on FanDuel. -198 on the money, and then 44.5 for the total.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should be favored. I think we should be able to win this game, especially if you consider yourself a real sort of postseason contender.
Anytime touchdown
damage.
Prop numbers. B Rob is at +115. Mm-hmm. Neighbors is at +115. Tracy is at +130. Terry McLaurin +130 as well.
And it seems like a good spot for Jaden passing wise because the Giants are allowing the 4th highest completion rate, 71%. The 7th most yards per attempt at 7.6, and the 3rd highest passer rating at 104 to opposing quarterbacks. Oh, and the league's 5th most rushing yards to quarterbacks, too.
You want to take a guess?
Jaden's pretty good at rushing the ball. Last time I checked.
You want to take a guess at the passing prop number for each quarterback, Jones and JD, in terms of yardage?
JD, 245.
I think it's going to be lower than
lower
that.
Than that.
I'm going to say 212.
228.5.
Okay.
It's kind of in the middle of us.
Daniel
and
Jones.
Then Daniel Jones. 205.
You almost nailed it. Okay. 204.5.
What about Jaden's rushing prop? 44.5 is my guess. It's just
I'll
a guess.
Jaden Daniels.
Dart.
Okay,
throwing
good,
a dart.
Good guess. 46.5. Jones.
Okay, pretty close. Jones, 31.5.
25.5.
Okay. All right, now since you're on a roll vote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can vote at Junks Radio. What do you think our audience is voting in terms of who wins?
I mean, you tipped your hand a little
bit. I did.
I'm going to say 76%.
85%.
Wow. I undershot there.
That's a little overconfident, yeah. I think, especially when you consider this. Jason mentioned some of the injuries that the Giants are dealing with. I think Cakes did, too. On our injury report, now, the big name guys, I think, just take it for what it is. Like Jaden's listed, okay, and he had limited on Wednesday, limited Thursday, but I think everyone on the planet assumes he's going to start on Sunday again, given that he started and he played so well last week. Brian Robinson is listed as limited. I think we're going to see him playing. He's nursing a hamstring. So is Zacchaeus, limited both days.
So if B-Rob has a hamstring, maybe an uptick for Eckler.
Could be.
Possibly. Maybe more.
But here's the red flag.
He's been kind of quiet the last
Nichols kind of is getting iced out in the last game or two.
Like here's the red flag. Diminished. I don't think they're talking about it. If the beat guys have been talking about this, I've missed it. Frankie Louvu has not practiced on
shin
Wednesday
injury,
and Thursday.
Right?
Yeah.
Shin issue?
He has not practiced. Not limited, not practiced.
Yeah, that's bad.
And
usually
we
you like
need
to see
him.
A couple limiteds and then maybe a full by Friday. A miss.
We got to find out what happens today. Jason, talk to your people. I'll text JP Finley. We got to find out what's
going on with Louvu.
If he doesn't go today in some fashion,
bad news.
Probably not.
You know what?
Play.
Maybe I'll just go by his house and just knock on his door and ask him if he's going to play.
Go do it. He lives near you.
What's etiquette, by the way, for taking down Halloween decorations? Jason, you said that Louvu put up a bunch.
I think
got a bunch.
A week,
by the end of the week,
he's got a
week,
big Frankenstein in his front yard.
A week or so. I'd say about a week. I saw some wacky.
I think by the end of the weekend,
wacky people on Twitter last night talking about as soon as they're done with their Halloween decorations, they're going to be putting up their Christmas trees this weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just sounds absurd.
They just don't mess around, man.
We went to a really nice house yesterday in our old neighborhood, and they had the Christmas tree already up.
Really? Before Halloween?
That's November 1st. Maybe some people do it by November 1st.
You can't put a real tree up though on November 1st.
Well,
it had to be a fakey.
I don't think it would make it.
No, got to be a fakey.
I think the guy. I kind of knew the guy. He said that they actually keep it up all year.
Well,
right.
My wife is all in on Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, putting it on.
Okay.
All in.
Well, that makes sense. You're a month away from Christmas at that point.
Yeah.
Now,
she would never do it the weekend after Halloween.
You mentioned how bad the Giants are against the run.
Yes,
right?
Correct.
They're giving up 141 yards per game.
That's tasty.
We're only 1 yard better. Okay.
Well, I know that the
we're giving up 140.4.
Right.
So I understand that Tracy's knocked out and whatever.
He might play.
Maybe he plays. What are the weapons that they have there on the ground?
Devin Singletary is a guy that they gave
a decent deal
to in the offseason to replace or try to replace Saquon Barkley.
He had 90 or 91 yards in the first
game. So, I mean, I think that's obviously going to be a key. Obviously trying to slow down neighbors. We've talked about it many times. If neighbors catches that ball on fourth down, I'm like, hit him in the hands sideline.
Probably
they went go on to win that game. So,
and they targeted him 18 times that game.
Right. So
over his last five, he's averaging 13 targets per game.
I don't know that any of them could really cover him consistently.
You know who else has been sneaky good?
Sancho's playing better. Maybe he could try.
Pierce has been sneaky good for them. Darius Slayton. Mm-hmm. Over like the last month, he's played really well in that offense. Like, it's another guy that the secondary is going to have to keep track of.
Problem is, the last 3 weeks, they've scored a total of 28 points.
Right. They're only averaging 14 a game.
Yeah. 14.6 in the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're still struggling, but they do have guys that can hurt us. Proven. Neighbors can hurt. Neighbors, if he goes off, can single-handedly win the game for him.
Absolutely. He's that sort
of
talent.
He's that good. If they target him another 18 times, that's going to be trouble.
He's got that extra boost that he's going to be on the same field as Jaden, his college teammate, his college quarterback.
Right, he's going to be worked up.
Yep. I said this yesterday when we were having these discussions about the defense and how the defense is improving here in Washington. This game will show a lot to me because, you know, we brought up Singletary. So Singletary actually ran for 95 yards.
195.
He averaged 5.9 yards per carry. So I almost just want to do a compare and contrast, right? Will they be able to bottle up the running game better than they did in week one when Daniel Jones had 32 yards rushing? Now, it's not a crazy amount, but five carries for 32. They ran for 130 as a team. And overall, when you looked at that game, yeah, it could have gone either way maybe at the end, but Washington racked up way more yards. It was 425 to 304.
Mm-hmm.
So will Washington and this supposed improved defense limit New York to less than that 304 yards? Will they limit it to less than 125 yards rushing? That's what I'm interested in seeing. Because if they do, then I'm like, okay, yeah, they are improved.
Well, I do think that we're going to have our hands full. I mean, remember, we didn't really talk about it, and a lot of it is based on that one swift run, that 56-yard run. But we gave up 202 yards on the ground last week.
It's a lot. It's kind of an alarming number.
And that was with Johnny Newton playing, everybody said, like an incredible game.
Yep.
Okay? We're going to have our hands full on Sunday. This is not going to... I don't think this is going to be a cakewalk.
No, it's not a... Yeah.
It's going to be a typical NFC East war.
Yep.
Oh, I got to check the weather.
And again, Daniel Jones...
It's windy sometimes in...
Daniel Jones... It's going to be cold on Sunday.
It's going to be... Check.
Colder.
He loves playing Washington.
60s, though. 60s.
I thought I saw 49 in Ithaca.
Well, Ithaca, but I'm talking about here. I'm not sure about New York.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones now has a career passer rating of 98.3 against Washington, 1,688 yards, 12 touchdowns with just three picks in eight games.
Right. So you've got quite a bit of factor, I think, in their favor. That's why you got to be cautiously optimistic. You can't sleep on
it. Don't go in there thinking it's a lock. I get it.
Daniel Jones has hurt us. We still struggle against the run. The Bears just last week rushed for 200 yards against us. And Malik Nabers, they targeted him 18 times. He had his way with us. If he catches that one ball at the end of the game, it's over.
But you know where Washington currently ranks against the pass in the league?
I don't know.
Six.
That's pretty good.
That is good. How is that happening?
They're getting after the quarterback last few weeks.
Pressure, I guess, in the last few weeks.
And the DBs have been playing better.
The back end has played better. Noah's
played better.
Yeah.
Which maybe, you know, remember a few weeks ago we were having that conversation where they were all saying that they were close, or Dan Quinn was saying they were close, and we're like, what are you talking about?
Right. Maybe he was right.
I mentioned, a lot of the times, and I think the Giants game was an example, where sometimes there would be good coverage and just the receiver would make a play.
St. Just in particular oftentimes would be there, but just couldn't make a play on the ball. It was really weird.
Your weather report for Sunday, high of 58 degrees. No chance of precip. Should be beautiful.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Beautiful fall football weather.
I just feel if Washington doesn't make crazy mistakes like they did in the first game with all those false starts and all those penalties. And
the score when you're in the red zone.
Yeah, take advantage of that.
The problem is we also struggled in the red zone last week.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there are red flags here.
Oh, yeah, I get it. And Washington struggles against the Giants routinely. I just think that, man, Giants just do not score points.
If Cleveland Farrell's out, and I don't think he's practiced, right, the last 2 days, he's at least been limited. He was limited on Wednesday, did not practice on Thursday. I don't know what that means, kind of going in the wrong direction. Luvu didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. If those two guys are out, that's a huge dent, I think, in your defense, in your depth.
The guy I'd be worried about
this game's
the most.
Scary.
I'd be worried about Dexter Lawrence the most.
I think this game's scary.
You said it every week. You said Carolina was scary.
Well, with Dalton, because Dalton had them.
Dexter Lawrence is scary. He's got 9 sacks. He's a game wrecker. You got to keep him
away.
They
lead the league in sacks.
You got to keep him away from Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Because if he falls on top of Jaden Daniels with an already banged up rib, that's not going to be good. It's bad news for the Commanders.
You got to double team him every single play.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, man, we might see a lot of that sideways passing. Oh, that could be annoying.
Hey, as long as they come out with a W and they get to 7-2, that's all that matters.
Right. This game officially scares me.
I think, what game doesn't scare you?
This one definitely scares me. Now, I think they've settled on their defensive backfield better than they did. When did we play them? Week 2?
That one we played
week
them?
Two.
Week 2, yeah.
Yeah, so I do think that they have kind of feel like Forbes, for unfortunately, he's not playing as much. Remember they benched Mike Davis? He's not playing that much.
I think their season is over already at 2-6, but the Commanders could effectively bury the Giants if they win in East Rutherford this weekend.
Man, the time of possession in that first game was basically 38-22. Washington's a better team. They should handle them. They should handle them. Think of all those red zone trips.
What if we don't have Luvu?
I think he's going to play.
He's going to not practice all week, and then he's going to play?
Well, maybe he goes.
Although this
bit
is
today.
The same thing that Jaden did last week, right? He basically didn't practice Wednesday and Thursday. Right.
Limited on Friday,
and then he was a go. Maybe that's what it is. Plus a shin, you would think he'd give the kid a shot. He'd go out there.
I just don't think Luvu has to practice.
He's such a beast.
I mean, I don't think he has to practice all
week. Maybe Jaden gave him his VR headset, and he's doing mental reps.
Sure.
If Luvu can't play, maybe they can go get your boy Jaden off the
re-sign
Jaden.
He's available.
Practice squad.
Might need him. Need somebody in that Micah Parsons role.
That would be funny. if he made a return.
Bring him back.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we're going to try and hit it big with our weekend parlay. We missed last week, but we've hit it twice so far this year. Our touchdown parlay next here on the Junkies. Still to come on the Junkies, John Feinstein joins us at 8. Scott Abraham from ABC7 at 9 on this Commanders-Giants matchup. And Gravis Vasquez, Terps legend, played in the NBA for a bunch. Now he's with Monumental Sports, calling the games. I believe he's calling the next game in Spanish.
Ah, very good.
On an altcast.
Excellent.
So we will talk to Gravis coming up at 9:20. He's going to join us in studio.
Do they play the next? I think they play the Heat.
The Heat in Mexico.
In Mexico, right?
Yep.
Right now, though, time for our touchdown parlay, which we've hit twice this year. My guy John over at Potbelly was lamenting the other day that he rolled with us this week and missed.
I had
but he
different.
Said he's up on the year. He's been going with us, and he's up on the year big time.
Okay. All right, who wants to start? Mr. Bickle, you want to start?
Sure, I'll start. I'm going to do a curveball here. I'm going to go, obviously, in this game, but I'm going to actually – listen, I'm picking us – but I also think it's hard to contain Malik Nabers.
It is.
And they targeted him 18 freaking times last time. he wants to really make a statement here at home in his second game against them, especially after his drop. He's going to be a man on a mission. I think the number is like right around even money, right? Did you say?
Plus 115. Yeah. So you get a little bit of
plus money. So you get a little bit. I was going to take B-Rob again, who I love, but I just think it's hard to stop Malik Nabers.
It is hard.
All right, so Malik Nabers.
He gets a ton of targets each week.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just got a text from my source.
Oh, you did. Excellent.
Frankie Luvu. Yeah, he's more than likely a go. Still need to get the update today, but he's a tough dude. All indications he's playing.
All right.
Good to get that from a source.
Makes sense because we'll one's really freaking out about it.
It's my source.
Do we know your source?
No.
Okay.
No. And I don't want you to know him.
That's fine. Just checking.
All right. Behind the glass. You want to give us your play this weekend?
So we're on an absolute heater back here. We've hit four in a row. And so we're going to go with the heat check. Jaylen Waddle, anytime, plus 220. They're taking on Buffalo. Second highest total in the whole NFL slate this week. Now, this is a little dicey because Jaylen Waddle hasn't scored at all this season. In his career against the Bills, he's only scored once in six games. But, you know, we're hot, and we're going to ride the hot hand. So five in a row, book it. Jaylen Waddle, easy.
Does it concern you that Devon Achan is taking a lot of his work away? That doesn't concern you?
I mean, a little bit, but Tua's back under center, and you know he's going to be looking his way. Tyreek's going to be double-teamed somewhere on the field, so Waddle, he's a deep threat too, so we can break it all.
Belis, why do you get such a kick out of when Mike makes his selection?
Because I know,
swagger?
I know he's excited because he's hot.
I hope you're right.
At this point, we just let him cook.
You're just letting him cook. You guys aren't even involved.
We don't even challenge or
zero
anything.
Input.
That's fine.
Like we throw out backups.
You're riding the wave
in case someone takes his guy.
Well, I hope it hits his plus 220. So it's.
But we're just letting him cook.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Like, I like it.
He could have the most random fullback to score a touchdown this weekend, and I'd have to ride it.
Okay.
I can't dispute the results.
Yep.
Never mess with a heater. Never mess with a heater. So if you're on it, continue what you're doing.
I don't know. He's finding them like Rain Man.
Yeah, very, very good. It's a good thing.
All right, spin the wheel. Who's next?
All right, so we got neighbors in. We've got Waddle, a couple receivers. Are we going to go running back anywhere? Flame.
Who knows?
I am going to go running back. You know what? Last week I went with the vibe. I went with the nuke bomb. It didn't go off. DeAndre Hopkins. Mm. You know what? Bad play in retrospect. I don't even think he was on the field that much. I thought that Patrick Mahomes might look his way when he was on the field for a touchdown. Maybe that's going to happen
over time.
It was all
about Kelsey last week.
This week I just looked at the board and one guy jumped out at me. It is a running back. I just picked him up in fantasy in a trade. So maybe that is skewing my thoughts. He's a heavy fave to find the end zone. He's been in the end zone seven times in seven games, four times in the last 3 weeks. I'm going to go in that game, which Mike Marr just referenced. I'm going to the other side, and I'm going to take James Cook, touchdown for the Buffalo Bills.
I think he's the only minus number in the parlay so far, minus 115.
Okay. All right, there you go. You got James Cook in there going against the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a couple of scores in that game. All right, I'll go. We had Dave Richer on yesterday, of course, talking fantasy. And one player, specifically a receiver, he talked about was Chris Olave. Mm-hmm. Saints are playing the Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers defense is ranked next to last in the league against the pass. They're not much better. I think they're ranked about 27th. Derek Carr is coming back for the Saints. Now, even last week when Carr was not playing, against the Chargers. Now, the Saints got bludgeoned by the Chargers, but Spencer Rattler, their backup, and Jake Haener, the third stringer, were looking Olave's way. They targeted him 14 times. He had 8 catches for a buck 07. Now, he didn't score, and he's only scored once this year, but he's had some injuries, had the concussion, so that affected him for a couple weeks. But Carr is back, and they're playing in Carolina. I think that they'll rack up some points, especially through the air. So I'll take Chris Olave for the Saints. At I think he's plus 165.
Plus 145 is the number that I'm looking at.
All right, there you go.
At this point.
Chris Olave. All right, last but not least, Mr. Allville.
I'm going to go with another wide receiver. This is in one of the highest total games on the slate. I'm looking at the Vikings-Colts game. And Josh Downs is just a different player when Joe Flacco is under center. Here are his numbers. When Flacco has started games in weeks 4 to 6, he's targeted 10 times per game, 8 catches per game, 72 yards receiving per game. He scores 19 plus fantasy points per game. I just think that Flacco is going to look his way in a game where the Colts most likely are going to be chasing points and trailing the Vikings on the road. So I've got Josh Downs. Not only do I have him, I got him at plus 175. Ooh. At a really tasty number. I feel like he's going to find the end zone this week.
This is going to be a big payday.
Where you're going to score, I think these teams will score like 50 plus points in this matchup.
All right. I
That's kind of the vibe I'm getting. All right, so here is your lineup. We got James Cook and Jalen Waddle in the same game. Anytime TD scores. Chris Olave at plus 145. Josh Downs at plus 175. And Malik Nabers in the Commanders-Giants matchup at plus 115. A $10 wager, pre-odds boost, will net us $820.31. You add 30% to that, what are we looking at? $1,150, maybe $1,200.
That'd be nice.
So there it is.
That would be nice, Cake.
We will get that profit boost in the mix, and then we will tweet out the updated numbers over the weekend.
Now, you usually send that to me on Sunday.
I do, yes.
A lot of people will ask on Instagram, on X, where's the parlay?
Right.
I'll put it up now, pre-odds.
Yes.
But then when Cakes officially puts it in, we'll put it up again.
Yep. Tail us.
Although I'm going to be in New York with Kelsey running the New York City Marathon.
Ah, very good.
So it might be tough.
Excellent.
Actually, I'm not running. Yeah, send it to me. I should be fine.
All is you that, have to do is pick, hit your the phone with
Sunday?
Your fat fingers.
Sunday. Oh, are you taking off Monday?
No.
So you won't, where are you going to watch the game?
I'll watch it when I get home.
Oh. So you're coming home Sunday night after after the race?
Mm-hmm. Okay. The race is in the morning. I think she leaves.
That's true. It's usually like 8.
She's at 9:45. Like, where, it depends on how fast you are.
Which one is it?
The New York City Marathon.
That's a big one.
Yeah. So I did it with her a few years ago.
Oh, by the way, my neighbor's son, he doesn't live there next to us anymore. He lives in St. Louis because that's where he works. He ran the Chicago Marathon. There were 50,000 plus runners.
Okay.
He finished 60th.
Oh, wow. Man. Flying.
I mean, he's basically an Olympian.
Is your neighbor?
He finished 60 out of 50,000.
Is your neighbor like a Kenyan?
Nope, he's not a Kenyan. Doesn't look like a Kenyan.
Are you sure? Can you double check on that?
He doesn't look like a Kenyan.
So what, he finished in like 2:15 or something like that?
I'd have to find out.
That's probably moving. Something
absurd. I think it was a little bit longer
probably
than that.
2.5.
I think it was in the 220s. But
yeah,
I mean, that's absurd. 60 out of 50,000.
Yeah, no, I can't even fathom
good
that.
Good for him.
Is he butt skinny?
Oh, he's very, very small.
There's nobody who's not skinny that's finished in the top 60.
He's got a Kenyan body. Yeah, he just doesn't look like a Kenyan.
My brother's done like 4 or 5 marathons, and no one to describe him as butt skinny.
He's also not finishing in 60th.
True. Yeah. Maybe 6,000.
But that, if you're finishing 60th.
That might be aggressive. Is that 50,000?
Oh, not out of 50,000. I don't think he ever did New York City.
Yeah.
You got to have like a Chris Farley build. Not Chris Farley, the comedian.
No.
Chris Farley from Basers.
Right.
All right, coming up next, it's Fridays with Feinstein here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.